Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, Democrats and Republicans. My name is Jared. His name is Ian.
Hello.
And joining us tonight is a very special guest, my oldest friend, Josh Taylor.
Not your old. I mean, we've known each other the longest. You have yes. friends older than me.
How old are you?
36.
You know,
I'm up
it's
there.
It's pretty
huh?
close.
I'm up there. All right, fair enough.
He's the oldest person he knows.
It depends. I feel like there's this break from like the mid 30s where we're all together.
Yes.
To like the old people.
Yes.
And
that
it's
is
like,
true.
Are those my friends or are those my mentors and wise old people that speak into my life?
That's true. If there are older people at these game days, they're not in their 40s. They're 50s and 60s.
That's so right.
I'm like older. That's true. Okay. Mm. All right.
I feel like that really fit. Anyways. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Campaign Trail, designed by David, Nathan, and Jeff Cornelius. Artwork created by Christian Strain and published by both Cosmic Wombat Games and Gray Fox Games.
Campaign Trail is a 1-6 player with the expansion up to 8 player
Ayo.
Game of the U.S. electoral system where players are playing cards to campaign across the U.S. of A in an attempt to win the hearts of the people and their votes. You will attempt dirty politic tactics, pay for advertisements, campaign by foot or vehicle or plane, and do some fundraising to pay for all these heavily expensive, expenses along this campaign road. Whoever has the most electoral votes at the end of the game will become the next president of Campaign Trail. Let's review Campaign Trail.
Very nice. That's incredible.
Well.
All right, Josh.
Hello.
We like to start people off, our friends and colleagues, with a very softball question. So if you could just go ahead and confess for the audience who you'll be voting for in this year's election, that would be great.
I'm still praying about it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Good answer.
Very good.
Good
Excellent.
Answer.
Excellent.
Good answer.
Ian, do you have a question for us to start us off?
I will keep it pretty generic since we are talking about politics.
Sure.
But we're not going to talk about politics.
Definitely not.
What, as far as when you first voted, your first ever vote?
Yeah.
Who was, you don't have to tell me who you voted for. What do you remember most about voting for the first time? Because I think that's important. Everybody should vote.
I don't think I've ever voted for anyone who's won.
Oh.
All right.
Any of them. I think I've picked a loser every time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Fine.
He is not represented
don't
well.
Don't blame me. Don't blame me for anything.
There you go.
Not represented well. Just he's here.
He lives in Tennessee, folks, if yep. that tells you anything.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's how it goes.
I have voted in one presidential election in my entire life.
Was it your first one?
It was my first one, okay. And it was just to say that I've done it, just to check the box.
There you go.
I don't even know who he was running against, but I remember it was Obama's first time.
Okay, like and John McCain. Yeah, is it John McCain?
Sure.
John McCain.
Yeah,
McCain.
And then Romney was the second.
Romney was the second.
There you
yeah.
go.
There
yep.
you go.
So that was
there you go.
The only time I voted.
I think his second term was my first.
Okay.
I remember voting in a primary the first time, but I don't really remember. It was just a primary, but no, I think that it was, yeah, voting for the first time. It is a little, I don't know. It's a little scary. Does anybody else feel scared in there for the first time?
You're afraid the elderly people running the voting booth are going to be like, no, you're doing it wrong.
I thought I was going to be accused of voter fraud.
That sounds right.
I wasn't doing anything wrong. I promise. But it is a little daunting as your first time you're in there and it's a lot. So you're like, you know, handing your stuff over and doing this and they're checking everything off and giving you the eye.
It's also really quiet.
Yeah, it's really quiet.
I know.
It's worse than like a library yeah. kind of thing.
Well, it's funny thing is sometimes in a library.
That's true.
So then it's even more quiet. It's like dead quiet.
Do you feel more intimidated in the voting space or with all the people that are quasi yelling at you as you walk down the sidewalk of shame as you walk inside to go vote?
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's as I'm walking in to vote, I'm hearing just so many people yell at me and then I get in there and it's silent. Then my brain's running. I'm like, am I making the right decision?
They're getting to you.
That lady up front said I don't know.
I'll be like, I'll vote for whoever is the furthest away from this line where you're not supposed to cross. Like all the people like huddled at the line, like we can't go any further, but we want you to know you got to vote. I remember being a kid and walking in to vote with a Ron Paul hat on or something. And some woman, shot that down. I was like, you got to take that off. I'm so sorry. I didn't even think about it.
That's too good. It's too good. It is a daunting though, I will say. But don't be afraid, I guess. It's just people.
Tune out the noise, man. Tune out the noise.
If you talk to the people inside there, they're actually very nice. They're very nice. It's as a first time voter, it's scary.
It is.
You think they're gonna report you and you're going to jail on site.
What are you doing in the voting area?
I don't know. I'm just telling you how I felt.
You
I don't know.
Millions of people vote? And he's like, oh, let's just call out Ian here. Look at this guy. Who's he voting for? What's he doing? What's his game?
All right. In the comments, tell me if anybody else felt like they were going to be accused of voter fraud on their as for their first time voting. It's a little scary. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, okay.
There is no voter fraud in this game, though, I don't think.
I don't know. There could be. You were crying and screaming in our last game. That's for sure.
No, that was political fraud, not voter fraud.
Well, it's all the same. Before we dive into the conversation, I do want to give a shameless plug for Josh.
Yes.
Josh has been a YouTube creator for how long now, buddy?
Since YouTube started.
The beginning of time.
Beginning of
20
time.
20 years, I guess, almost.
Wow. That's so wild that it's been that long.
That's awesome.
I am your oldest friend, after all.
That's right.
That's true. That's true. Well, I didn't tell you about this beforehand, but if you want to give like a 1 minute plug of your channel, please do so.
Oh,
now.
Okay. I run a YouTube channel with my brother called Blimey Cow. We've been doing it, like I said, for 20 years. Kind of just do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We're kind of in transition right now because my brother just had a baby.
Yeah.
So we're kind of just treading water a little bit, trying to stay above water.
That's right. Well, congrats though. So that's,
thank you. Yes. Excited to be an uncle again.
Yeah.
And that's about it. We started a podcast. So we do a video podcast now once a week. It's on hiatus at the moment, but it'll start back up soon. So thank you.
Sweet. Yes.
Yeah, BlimeyCow.com.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I've listened and watched Blimey Cow since I was also a homeschooled. So I was living the dream as when Blimey Cow came out. Yeah, 20 years ago, I was being homeschooled at the time, watching it. And it was
that's so funny. I forgot you told me that.
Yeah. So I have watched it from the beginning and it's so cool to see the ups and downs and the changes that y'all have made as well. Because you're obviously not homeschooled anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We're literally, Jordan was 14 when we started that channel.
That's
now
crazy.
He's married with kids and, you know, I had just gotten married when we started it. So
yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Super cool though. So yeah, I've watched from the beginning and I love it. So go like and subscribe.
Absolutely. We'll have links in the episode description. Make it easy for you to click on over there. All right, y'all. Let's talk about how to play this game and then we'll jump in.
Tell us, Jared.
I'll do my best. All right. The goal of the game is to obtain the same thing every politician strives for. Gaining the most electoral votes and be crowned president of the United States. I'm so sorry. I lied for the first time on this podcast.
I didn't know.
Each player takes on the role of a presidential candidate, or if you are playing a team game, one player on each team will be playing as the presidential candidate, and one player will be playing as the vice president, working together to collect the required number of votes. In the middle of the table are three boards. The main board houses the map of the U.S. where most of the action takes place. Each state has each party's vote count tracked on this board, as well as each player's piece that moves throughout the board, the player's hometown token, turn order markers, the general money supply, the location of both debates, and the cards that will be drawn and used to play throughout the game. One smaller board tracks who is currently leading in electoral votes, and the other small board shows what topics are going to be covered in the next debate. Players have a small board in front of each of them that holds cash, registered voters, and your candidate card. Each candidate has a good and bad special ability, starting cash, and starting registered voters. For the game, I'm going to have to give more of a broad overview due to the intricacies of the game, but I think it should give you an idea of how to play. Most of the game revolves around the cards that you play. Each player typically has 5 cards in their hand on a given turn. They will have a variety of actions on them. Most do not house all the actions in the game, but generally they do contain most of the actions. I'll go through each one of the actions. Again, once you take one action on the card, you discard the card, do the action, and then draw a new card. First up is travel. It's located in the top left-hand corner of the card. It will either give you a number of states that you can move from your current location, or you can fly to another major city with an airplane icon on the board. Next is fundraise. Fundraising is on the middle left side of the card. It gives a money value. You gain that much money from the bank. Next up is register. Register is in the bottom left of the card. It gives you a number of your unregistered voters and turns them into registered voters. This is important for later actions. Advertising shows up in the top right section of the card. Advertising allows you to push certain issues to gain voters in a number of states depending on the topics on the card. Each topic costs $20 million apiece to advertise, and you add one of your registered voters to that state. Again, it's a registered voter, not an unregistered voter. Most of the time, advertising is going to add voters to multiple states. Campaign. Campaigning is in the bottom right section of the card. Unlike advertising, which targets specific issues, campaigning targets specific areas of the map. After paying $60 million, this allows you to take 6 registered voters and add them to any states in the colored region. In the middle of the card is a map of the main board highlighting which states you would be advertising or campaigning in. The last action is politicking. At the bottom middle of the card is the politics action. This is a special ability that will either have a one-time effect or an ongoing effect for the rest of the game. Play continues in turns until the first deck runs out. This thematically concludes the month of August. Then we move into the first debate. In the top middle right section of the card are debate topics. During debates, players take turns influencing the topics on the debate board. At the end of 3 rounds of debating, players gain votes based on how well they discuss topics during that vote. This adds a tug-of-war aspect as players will try to pull tokens to their side of the board while also pulling topics away from other players. Play goes back to the main board for the second month, which is September, playing just like August. When the second deck runs out, there's a second debate with new topics. Then, back to the main board for one last month, which would be October. Once that round is over, final votes are tallied. Whoever has the most electoral votes wins. Let's head back over to the table and discuss. Ian.
Well, yes.
What's the draw? What draws you into this game?
Politics.
Ooh, really?
Well, if you're intrigued, and this is from my point of view, because this is what draws me into this game, is if you are intrigued by how the political system in the U.S. works, how you would campaign, that strategy of campaigning, and obviously it's very complicated in real life, but if you boil it down to trying to campaign across in different regions, doing some advertisings, the very generic way to look at American politics, I think it's fascinating. I think it's really cool to look and dive into and be able to explore it for yourself. I love that everything that this game does for that. I truly do feel like at times that I'm making decisions on how to campaign and how to attack the board politically and get into different regions. And okay, where am I struggling? Everybody in this game, you start out, you're not good in some areas because you're dispersed amongst the map. The generic 3-party board is very representational of how the U.S. politically votes. The Northeast is a little bit more Democratic.
Ish, yeah.
The South a little bit more Republican based, but you're adding the Libertarian Party, so they kind of throw that into it all. Where it's, they're kind of get more into like the West area, and so then they get some random states, you know. So, but generally, it feels like you're kind of playing that party strategically, in my opinion, of how they play. Because I've played all of them multiple times, and I feel like most of the time I'm doing what that party right now, like in a current politics, likes to attack different areas. If you're talking geography wise, This is how they attack certain areas. And so I really like that aspect, is every party you play is a little bit different. There are swing states. Like, there are some strategic things in here that are like the American politics system, and I love it because it truly does feel like, okay, how am I attacking this? How am I attacking this, either this party or this party? What state am I trying to get from them? There's always those thoughts going through my head when I play this game. And so that is a big draw for me. I don't know about y'all, but that's always one that gets me in this game.
That was why I was attracted to it in the first place when I first heard about it, because I'd never heard of a game that did quite that. You know, the company that makes Twilight Struggle, GMT.
Yeah.
They have their, like, election political games.
Yep.
But they're kind of all in that sort of Twilight Struggle realm. This feels more just its own thing.
Yeah, it does.
Even though it is kind of just at its heart like an area control
mm-hmm. yep.
sort of deal. But I've never played anything quite like this. It is chaotic, maybe to a fault, but it is a lot of fun. Like, when it works, it works, like, really well.
It does.
It's fun that you have to really plan out the way you're going to travel.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a card that you want to advertise in certain states, but that card will also enable you to travel 5 states instead of 3.
Right.
In the last game we played, the presidential candidate I played as could not travel by plane.
Yeah.
So that kind of screwed me pretty royally because I couldn't get down to Florida once I needed to.
Sure.
After the debate. But these are all kind of like interesting, fun things. Got to decide, well, what's the best? Should I just campaign where I'm at and start putting them all around the area that I'm in? Or yeah. should I advertise or just get more voting? You know, there's just a lot of every turn you're making a tough decision.
It feels like a heavy decision every yeah. turn.
Well, because, you know, for as long as the game is, you really don't get that many turns, I feel like.
It goes really quick as far yeah. as your action economy goes yeah. for how long it is. I would agree.
I don't think I've ever played a game where, like, it takes so long for, like, how much you're like, well, no, hold on. I don't want this to be over yet. How many more cards are in that deck? I need, like, 3 more turns.
Yeah.
But it still takes forever. But it's good. It's a lot of fun. I finish it every time. I'm like, man, that's fun. And it's also overwhelming. And I'm like, I think I'm good for a minute, but
sure.
I do like it.
Just like a regular politics. yeah. Good. I'm yeah. done. I'm
no,
out.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it is interesting. I remember we got to play test the first edition of this game at Gen Con. And I was so drawn to the idea. I mean, I'm not really into politics. I know I was pretty snarky at the beginning of the episode, but politics is just not my thing.
Yeah.
But I like in this... It's like you were saying, Ian, it almost takes all the crap
yeah.
that we have in American politics
takes the crap.
And it just becomes, all right, if the system were to just be the system,
yeah. yep.
this is what it would feel like.
Yeah.
And of course, it doesn't nail it perfectly.
Sure.
But it definitely is a refreshing feel when you're thinking about politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So for every state, they have topics that they're interested in. And some of them kind of make sense, but some of them don't. Yeah, you know, that's totally fine. And I think it's really cool because you're like, oh, these different states, and some of them have like the same ones. So like Oregon and Massachusetts and Iowa, they all have a shared interest in, I don't know, drug trafficking or whatever, you know. I think it's cool that you're looking at different states. You're like, okay, how do I interest them specifically? And so you're trying to find cards to do that and kind of manipulate it that way. You know, you're advertising with those or winning debates. Sometimes it's like, man, I want to play this card for the campaign or advertising, but you're like, oh no, I have to save this for the debate because it's that good. There's this constant wait every turn. And if you waste a turn, and not like waste, like we said, the action economy, there's only so many turns in the game that you can actually do something because the rest of the turns is to earn money or right. get voters registered so you can do those things. I don't know what the, like, I guess I need to sit down and like mark next game just to actually check. But it feels, I mean, half of your turns are doing something important where the rest of it is kind of building up for that. And so I do think there's an interesting aspect to that.
And that's a tricky thing because you have the scale or the chart with all the different states.
Yep.
And so it's almost like you're sitting there on like CNN or whatever, like, yeah. all right, now this state goes to the Democrats. This yep. state's now Republican leaning.
Yep.
And so when it comes time for the debate, which you have at the end of the first round and the second round, whoever is in the lead goes first. Whoever is in the furthest behind
yeah.
goes last in the debate, which is like
you want to go last.
You want to go last.
You're the last one to play a card. You're the last one to decide what topics are moving up, and that can really make all the difference. So it's a great little catch-up mechanism where if somebody is like – You don't want to be far ahead, as I learned in our last game. You don't want to be super far ahead, so you got to be careful. Like, oh boy, I could take Texas right now. Well, do I want to take Texas right now? Maybe I should just hang on to this card until next round and then take it. Oh, but hang on. I need this card for the debate.
Yep.
Shoot, what do I do?
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, you just huff decisions left and right.
You're thinking through every time, at least for me, it's like, okay, should I have played that before the debate or after?
Mm-hmm.
I just think about it every time. I'm like, I don't know. I still don't know which was the right decision, but...
Well, and it adds to the chaos of not knowing the cards in everybody else's hand, and mm-hmm. so you can feel good about, okay, with the five cards that I've got, this is the strategy that I want to take, and then someone will come in and do something or say something, and you're like, yeah. Wait, this is... You just completely upended everything I was going to do. I was very excited that you took Texas. That made me very happy when you did that.
That's right. I was unhappy regardless.
Yes.
Because I was not in Texas.
Yeah.
But no, like you were saying, the electoral map, it's kind of in live time. So like you see everybody's points at the same time. You always know who's in first and second and third. It's area control. So whoever has the most voters in that state, they'll have that token on their board.
Right. Well, and I like too, a couple different things, and we're kind of blending in with the draw and the mechanics, but I enjoy that you can't panic in August. You have to be like, okay, I've just got to build up what I'm doing, get my resources ready to go, and be ready to strike in that debate, because the debate can really swing things and change the way that you look at the next round, whether it be round two or round three.
Yeah.
But then I also really like that California, Texas, New York, you can swing them, but it's very difficult to do so.
Yeah.
It's not something where any state is just easily up for grabs. Each of those parties know they have to have those, and they can fortify them quickly. And
yeah.
So it is something where we've seen California turn.
Yeah.
But it's, you really invest to get there.
Yeah. Those big states, they're high electoral points, you know, just like in the real political system. But they're balanced in a way. It's a lot harder to put things into California, a lot harder to put things into Texas. You have to do it via the debates and just... You kind of chip nickel and dime your way into those states where the true swing states, as far as like in real life, are, I think, true swing states in this game.
Yeah.
You have Pennsylvania, Ohio, you know, you have your Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois. Those are huge swing states in this game because they're all about 11 to 20 points. And as long as you're holding on to the rest of the board, and you sneak one of those states in without somebody knowing.
Right.
That's why I love that aspect of this game that's always churning in my head. And I did it horribly in this game we just played. I did it so horribly. But I had a card that would have allowed me to take Illinois without doing my last turn that way. It messed me up. I played it so royally
still a little
awful.
Bitter. It's fresh.
Yeah.
Salty.
But in games I've played prior, you have this way of a catch-up mechanic at the end of the game that I really like. It's like a module, but I think, honestly, I think you have to play it with it. It just adds so much variety at the end of the game, and I think it's fun. But I have flipped Pennsylvania and added six voters. I have flipped states on that last turn to get me the win. And I think that's so cool. I think that's very thematic, and it does add that element of surprise to the rest of the board, obviously. But there's always this last-ditch effort to try and get the state you need. And I think the swing states are super important in this game, just like in real life, but also you have to win the rest of the map as well. You can't just ignore it. And the big states do count as well. Like, you need those.
That's the most thematic thing about the game is, you know, I was playing as the Democrats in this game. I know that sometimes we've played where California is contested, but this time, like, nobody even tried for it.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah. Because that's my state. You know what I mean? You don't get that state. I do think that there are I haven't studied it, but I think that the cards and everything are kind of built around, well, there's not a lot you can do with California unless you want to travel there yourself.
Exactly.
And start pushing, make it happen.
You have to campaign. That's the only way to swing it. And I was going to try and do that.
Yeah.
It just, ran out of turns.
Yeah.
But I have done it that way. You like, that's the thing. You have to go there and campaign. It's really hard. If you want to truly swing it quick, that's the only way to do it. And there's only a couple cards that do so. So,
well, and I know you were going to try for California. Josh tried for Texas.
Yeah.
And spent a lot of time and resources there.
I wanted it.
He did want it. He was ready.
Yeah.
And anyways, Josh, do you have a favorite mechanic in this game? Just something that really says this is the thing that makes the game.
Honestly, I think the game itself is fun. I think that the debate section, that's what really elevates it. Something about having to, you know, those cards have so much information.
Sure.
It's overwhelming. It really is.
Well, there's four, five.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Four or five on every card.
Yeah.
At least five, because you've got four different actions plus the debate information.
But not all, not all cards have availability for all actions.
I think they have at least four with the debate info and then maybe a politic on
there. That even makes it more complicated because you're like, hold on, so which one of my cards let me fundraise?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, truthfully, I've played enough times now that at this point, win or lose, I just am here to enjoy the game.
Yeah.
And the way I enjoy the game is just to say, okay, this turn, I need to fundraise. Let me look at my cards. What lets me fundraise the most? Okay, it's this one. Is this a stupid card to play for fundraiser? No. Okay, I'm going to do it. And just be at peace with my decision.
Exactly.
And that got me second place.
So. Out of three, that's not bad.
Hey, runner up. Runner up. Yeah, I mean, you had the second most electoral votes. There you go.
There you go. But yeah, the debate is a lot of fun. You know, the cards have a lot of information, but something about having those little issue topic icons at the top just to say, hey, don't forget, you're going to need these, and here are the issues that are going to be in the debate. And the other thing I like about the debate is that you only have to play a card that has one of the icons that's in the debate.
Yeah.
If it has other issues that are not currently in the debate, those get tossed in as well. So now everybody can play those cards as well if they have those icons.
And it's so thematic to a real, because it's a rabbit trail.
Yeah.
They ask you the question about, you know, national security.
Right.
And then you go on a tailspin about drug, you know.
Right.
Drugs at the border, you raise taxes.
Oh, now we're talking about taxes. You know,
It's so thematic.
Yeah.
It's so thematic.
And that, it's beneficial that it is thematic because there's so much to keep track of in this game. You know, we were talking earlier about how this game, I think you said, has a 7.7 on BGG. I think this is one of those games where there aren't like a ton of people that play it, but the people that do play it picked it up because they were really interested in the theme and they're like, thank the Lord there's a game like this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're like me, you're sort of forgiving of its faults just because nobody has really done this before in this complete of a package. So yeah, there are problems with it. I'm sure we'll get into them, but for what it is, I mean, it's a pretty sweet game.
Yeah. I mean, it does all of the things it wants to do well, for sure. Yes. I think the debate mechanic, it takes it in a different way. As if not, it's just an area control. There are other political games. 1960, the making of the president is a very similar process. Your area control, playing some cards. Honestly, very similar on how those cards are played. This adds a little bit more to the cards specifically. But yeah, there's other games like Twilight Struggle, similar thing, area control, playing some cards, doing some things. They're very different, but the debates is what's different in this, is that it truly feels like, yeah, there's this kind of lighthearted way of attacking issues, and I think it's really cool. I love games that have cards that allow you to do multiple different things on that card. Having a card in a game that has multiple things on it and you pick one of the things to do is one of my favorite mechanics in games. Most of the time, I love a game that has that, and this game has it in so many different ways.
Past spades.
Yes.
It's got more than spades.
More than the spades. Because every card has four on it, and you want to do, especially the good cards, you want to do all four of them. Because some of them are like, oh yeah, you get 125 million, you get 20 voters or 12 voters. You get to campaign in California.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you get to pick one of them. That's all you get. You get one. And so it is really cool. They balance the cards well, in my opinion, on what each card does. There's some cards that are better than others, but they're balanced out well throughout the deck. I love that balance of having cards that do multiple things.
To clarify, you're saying that throughout the entire stack of however many cards it is, there is a nice mixture of the different types of cards and how they influence the board, even if they are not all balanced well. Like, there are obviously certain cards that are better than
others. There are cards that are significantly better, for sure. And that was one thing. I didn't get a lot of the cards that I needed.
No,
I should have pivoted away, but...
You can 100% get deck screwed in this game.
No, you can. You can.
Yes. And you did.
I mean...
Get away.
You're like, okay, I'm going to go in with this strategy, and you start hitting it. You're like, okay, I'm feeling it. This is what I want to do next couple turns. Then you stop drawing cards that help you do those things. You need to pivot quickly. Mm-hmm. But the way the game goes, like, you get pulled to a debate that messes up. You were going to campaign over here. There goes the debate. It pulls you away. So I do think there's an aspect where you are limited by time. And if you don't react instantaneously, then you are going to get screwed a little bit by the cards, which is did happen to me. I think I should have pivoted a little sooner by the time I realized that it was over. And so, I mean, that's fair. It does happen. It's something to be aware of. But I think the overall balance of the cards, yeah, there's cards that are really good, some that are okay. But the balance of those within the deck are definitely balanced. I can't say that they're not. There's a good spread of them in the deck, and they're not overwhelming. They're just spread out amongst the deck. So to answer that question, I guess is what
I just wanted to clarify, because I think we're going to get into a negative later that would contradict that if it was not clarified correctly. That's all I was wanting to do there.
Sure.
I think for me, I really just enjoy that there's so many different ways to play this game and win. I hate the campaign action. I think it's a waste of time, and the payoff is just not worth it. But you've won the game campaigning correctly.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a multitude of paths to victory. Some of it is card dependent. Some of it is figuring out the right way. I love this. I will try to do this with a different swing state every game going forward, where I grabbed Pennsylvania on turn one and just buried it. And it was mine. And there was no question that it was mine.
Right.
That was the most united Pennsylvania's ever been in the existence of America. So
there you go.
I just love that there's a lot of different ways to play and walk out your strategy, whatever you want it to be. But
there are.
We can pivot into some issues that we might have with this game. I think Josh set a good precedent of there are issues with this game, but if you're looking for an experience like this, it might be worth overlooking some of these. I don't know that anything that any of us are going to talk about is worthy of throwing the game away or saying this is not worth trying, but I think there are some significant things that we're going to talk about. So Josh is the guest. You can lead us off.
I think if anything you've heard got you excited to play this game, then you will enjoy this game.
100%. I don't think it's going to change your mind, do what we're about to say.
100%.
My number one thing with this game is something that we haven't even, I don't think I've brought up even before we started recording.
Nope.
This game is fiddly.
Yes.
It is super fiddly. And the board is so overwhelming to look at once all of the voters are on there.
At the end of the game.
Yeah. It's very, I mean, it's hard to keep track of everything. And then you're trying to map it out with like the cards in your hand. Like, okay, where can I advertise? Where are even the states? I can't, because of all the voters all over the place. You can't even hardly see anything.
That's right.
I think that this is a game that would actually make a great PC game. Where it was all just done for you. It would take half the time.
It would.
And it would be a lot easier to see. It would be, because you could just literally just have the numbers on each state. It would be like, Twilight Struggle is a good PC game. It's just the fiddliness for me. I think that's what keeps me from wanting to play it more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
If this game was an app, I'd play it all the time.
Oh, I would too. And I think it would end up, I think that having all of that play testing would help it become a more balanced game.
Yes.
Because if there was good support for it, they could, we always want to say, let's get rid of this presidential candidate. It's a little OP.
Yeah.
Or this card's a little OP when the same guy gets it three times in a row and poor Ian hasn't seen it one time this whole game, you know?
That's right. I don't see the good cards.
Yeah. But, even that is a little thematic, because it's like, man, that guy had kind of an unfair advantage, but what could you do?
You take advantage of the disadvantage.
You know,
that's right.
I think everything else that I had issues with, I've already talked a little bit about, but that was the main thing is just, boy, there's just, and after, oh my gosh, after the debate, my favorite thing about the game, it's like, okay, so now we have to look and see what states had those issues and who gets that. Okay. This state, that state, that state. Okay, next one. This state, that state. Okay, now we got to move the state markers for my turn. Okay.
Which are also very fiddly and are easily, like, you can knock them and then they're all over the place.
And then it's Jared's turn. And so then we got to do all of his. And okay, now these ones are moving back. And so half the game is literally just moving the pieces around. You're not even playing. You're just trying to, like, upkeep the game.
Yeah, and you're, like, making change to get the point markers down to where it's a five-pointer instead of five.
Yeah, you're constantly running out of the single.
You're trying to make... Yeah, you're running out of singles. You're trying to make space on the map so that you can actually see what's going on.
Yes.
Anyways, that's enough about fiddliness. What do you got, Ian?
Okay.
Here we go.
Let me go back to my notes.
Oh, my. He's got a whole page. He's got a whole speech prepared.
Okay, so one, balance in this game is wonky. There is fiddliness. I don't care about that. I think there is something about, and I do
You don't care about the fiddliness. Not the balance. You care about
I don't care about the fiddly pieces.
It's fine. Yeah. That was my thing.
No.
No, I'm with you on it, for sure.
I don't, like, it's not as big of a deal for me. I think this game is such an experience that setup is, it's a lot. Setup's a lot, and the cleanup's a lot, and yeah, kind of manipulating all the little tokens around. Yes, I think, I'm not going to say it's not there. There's fiddliness, but it does not bother me because of what the game is and what it does. The issue that I have is the balance and we already talked about the card deck. I think generally that's okay to me because again, you're picking from the actions available. It's not you're stuck to one action on the card.
Sure.
So I like that. I don't particularly like how some of the characters you get to be and how those, some of them are very, very unbalanced. There's not many of them, in my opinion, that are viable. Some of them are just dumb. And overall, there's only about, I think, 6 to 8 out of like the 23 that they give you. And I did have some extra ones because of the Kickstarter, but I don't know. There's some that are just not, one is not fun to play. It's either not fun to play or it's not fun to play against. And so I think there needs to be a balance in that. I don't know what it is. It just it's a little bothersome in a game that can be fiddly, can be all these other things, and you're adding one extra element in that. That's what takes it over the top for me because I think the debates are incredibly important, and there are some there's more than one that kind of manipulates the debates a lot, and I think that can be good, but it's like they don't even have a downside, and so that's like it makes it tough. As far as for me, the game lacking, if you're just taking cards and area control, I don't think there's a whole lot lacking in the game. I think there's just a little bit of balancing that was not achieved in the way I would expect or desire in some of the cards outside the main deck of the other things that I don't particularly love. I think some of the modules are not very balanced as well, and some of the character cards are not very balanced. And I don't know how to fix that. To clarify, most characters, they have an advantage and a disadvantage. Some of that advantages can be fantastic. And then the others, they don't have anything good. One of them literally is none and none. It has nothing. No advantage, no disadvantage.
Yeah.
Why would I don't know why I would play that. Maybe if we just did everybody that way, that'd be fine.
I think the disadvantages should be worse maybe than they are.
Right.
And that would help balance it a little bit.
I don't know, man. I still feel like it's not that they're not strong. It's just that they're so situational.
Yeah.
So like for you wanting to travel, that hurt.
Right.
If I played that character, wouldn't care because I don't travel.
Right.
I let the board travel for me.
Yeah.
So I think it's situational. That's the issue.
Yeah,
I mean, you can definitely play. I guess that's what I mean. You can play around your disadvantage. I mean, I still did well, even though I wasn't able to. It did hurt, but I don't think I would have won had I been able to travel. Maybe I would have. I don't know. Yeah,
I do think so. Like mine was, campaigning cost a little extra, and that's fine. But the advantage didn't. It added one vote, like every couple turns, one voter to the board. I'm like, for how much I'm paying extra to campaign, it seems so not worth the what I'm getting in return for that.
Sure.
And that's my problem. Again, we talked about this prior. This is not game changing. You can house rule or remove these ones that you don't like if your group does not like. I remove some of them for some of the groups I play with. I don't have an issue. I think when we're trying to take it as a whole, you're looking at all the ones that are in the base game for sure, and some of them are a little bit stronger. So that's something that I'm trying to, you know, take into account for this. I think those are very easily controllable, though. You can just remove it or nerf it. So it can be done. I'm just saying it's something to be wary of and something to keep an eye on. I guess the overall aspect as well is that there's not enough of them. I'd rather just a little bit more variety. Even if they didn't do as much, I want more of them. I want a little bit more.
You want them to be nerfed a little bit and more variety.
Yeah, more variety. Because there's plenty of games that I've played where there's a lot of abilities, but they're all, they just do a little bit of something. They do a little bit of this,
I guess,
do a little bit of that.
Suit your play style a little bit more.
Yeah.
And hopefully you that's the one you get. You know?
I don't know. I hear what you guys are saying. I think that I do agree with you both that they are not balanced. There are some that are just absolutely better than others. And in my opinion, I mean, I'm speaking as someone who's never published a game, but to me, that's unacceptable from Gray Fox because they picked this up from
Cosmic Wombat.
Cosmic Wombat, who did the first edition.
Yeah. Mm.
So Gray Fox picked this up. So it's not even like you're developing the game. You're adding on and improving what you already have. And as a company, I like Gray Fox. I think they've put out some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You really like Deception, Murder in Hong Kong.
Great game.
Champions of Midgard is a great game.
Yep.
So I don't understand why this game could not have gotten a little bit more attention to be able to have that balancing.
A little more tight-knit, you know?
Exactly.
Just tighten it down a little bit more. Just those fine-tune, those little things that maybe...
Because I think they did do a good job of taking the game and saying, okay, we understand this is fiddly. We can only fix so much of that. But what they did do, they did a good job, I thought.
Yeah.
And so from a production standpoint, I thought they improved it. But I think from a actual game perspective, there was more that could have been done there.
Mm.
And I remember when Gray Fox did their Kickstarter, there were a lot of delays. So I just think that there could have been more time devoted to the game before going into production. That would have gotten you farther away from COVID and all the shipping issues that was going on there. Anyways, I don't have to go down the whole rabbit trail. But I think if you nerf the abilities, why have them? I think I would just rather... You find a way to balance the abilities better.
I mean, yes, I agree with you.
I don't want to lose the fact that my character feels very different from your character.
No, that's... I guess that's my alternative to,
sure.
to trying to balance it. I don't know how you self-balance. That's the problem. Other than take out the ones that are too strong.
Because it's only a few.
There's a few.
I mean, I think for the most part, you can handle the differences amongst most characters.
Yes. And maybe we're talking about this too much because it's something you could just remove. So I don't know why we keep talking. I don't know why I keep talking about it.
But it is part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to buy a game. Like, I don't want to buy Distilled and then say, oh, I got to throw out these three characters to make sure that it's fair for everybody.
Right.
And then go from there. Which, actually, Distilled does do a good job of giving you specific characters to work with for specific types of games, depending on which flights you're working with.
Exactly.
Which would be great in a situation like this where it's like, okay... If you're new, you want to go with these characters. If you're more experienced, you want to go with these characters. If you have a mixed bag of new players and old players, you want to give the new players these and give the old players these.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be more of a balanced game. That would have been great. But that's not what
we got. But there's not that many. There's not as many.
There has to be more.
That's the problem.
You're right. I'm with you.
There's just not as many. And I was trying to look up and see if anybody's like made any. I'm not seeing any.
I feel like I've seen several forums of people being upset about certain characters, but I don't know if I've seen files for new stuff.
I'm not seeing any.
Right.
So if you want to make some for me and have play tested them, send them to me because I want more.
part of it too is just that there's so much going on to keep track of within just your game.
Yes.
That, you know, we get done with the game and I'm like, hold on. So Jared, what was your guy? What did he do?
Right.
I didn't even like, I thought I understood, but I didn't.
Even after because it started to blend together when I had ongoing politic actions.
Yeah.
You thought my character was the politic action.
Yeah. I thought your character was a card you had played early on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is a lot to keep up with. I will agree with that. It is also a table hog. It has to be a big board because
it should be even bigger.
It really should. But you need the space to be able to keep up with the different votes and who's ahead and whatever.
Uh-huh.
So that's something to be aware of as well. I think, so normally I'm not as bothered by randomness in games. I think, unfortunately, the randomness in this game can keep you from doing what you want to do. We were talking after this last game about how Josh was trying to take Texas. And for a while, for the first 2 months, he was really making me sweat over whether or not I could keep Texas. But then Josh just ran out of cards that influenced Texas.
Yeah.
If you're simulating how politics is supposed to work, he wouldn't just run out of steam in Texas.
Yeah.
Like he would still have the ability to try and influence. Yeah. But in this game, you just, you never drew a card.
In fairness, because I agree, but just to steal, man, because I had a character in this game that could not travel easily.
Sure.
I shouldn't have banked on, hey, maybe I can, maybe the Democrats can swing Texas and Florida, which I almost did if I had kept getting those cards. But since I didn't, I couldn't.
That's the other thing. I think you have to be able to pivot really quickly in this game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's so much tactical.
After the debate, you have to sit there and study the board if you want to have a chance.
All right. We've talked about good and bad. Player interaction, player count.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of player interaction.
100%. I think
the whole game is interaction.
Area control, you're going to have constant interaction.
You know, one of the things that we didn't mention about, sometimes you might want to put a voter in a state that you don't really intend to keep.
Hmm.
But you might play an advertisement action just to put it somewhere, just because you know, oh, now Ian is going to have to spend a turn just to...
Exactly.
Just because he doesn't know what I'm going to do in this state. So he might have to waste a turn to solidify this area, because if he doesn't, he's in big trouble.
No, that's totally fair.
That's a massive part of the game.
And that's like the mind game.
Yeah.
So with that, player count. I think this is a very different game depending on how many players you have.
Yes.
I mean, you should always play at 8.
No.
No. You should never play it at 8. No. Ever. You should.
Have you guys played it at 2? Has anybody played it at 2?
Have I played it at 2?
I think it'd be really cool to play it at 2.
I might have played it at 2.
I think it would be a lot of fun at 2. I have not played it at 2. My experience in this game is at 3 and at 6.
Yeah. Same.
I've played it at 4 with 4 individuals as
well. Yeah, if you had the expansion, you can do that.
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
I liked it. It was very tight.
But did it take forever to play?
No, because it's all individuals.
Okay.
Yeah, when it's not teams, that really slows it down.
I guess the number of cards is the same regardless of how many players there. But it's just one more person to sit there thinking.
A lot more fiddliness, too. It's you're moving that many more states.
Yeah.
It is. It is one more person. But it's the team is what takes a while. You're coordinating so much.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So it was fun. I'm glad we tried it. Mm. But I definitely liked playing on my
own. You're talking
better.
About 6? Playing
Yeah,
I mean, that was my initial experience to this game.
Mm.
And I think playing at 6 is an experience. I don't know
it was fun.
That it would be my favorite recommendation.
Yeah.
But I definitely would say try it once. Because it's
definitely
an experience.
I think you should try it. It's a
long experience, though.
Very different game. You're very limited.
Yeah.
You felt limited before.
Yeah.
Try a team game.
I would say 3 is ideal for this game.
Yeah, I think between 2 and 4 at individuals. I would be curious, actually, now that I think about it. Maybe a 2v2 game would be interesting.
I mean, I'm just such a sucker for a good team game.
Yeah.
That I think I would enjoy that.
At 2v2?
Yeah.
I would play a 2v2.
I think you'd be a little bit more engaged and interested in what your turn presents, because I think you would have more to do.
Cuz you would get more turns. You've got one opponent in a way. So you're working with your teammate against,
and the cards don't disappear immediately.
Yes. Yeah,
it would be
a very different game. It sounds fun to me.
So what's funny for the audience, in a 6-player game that you play teams, it's kind of like this ramp up to the first debate.
Right.
Then the debate happens, and then the next month is gone, and you get 2 turns after that, and then 2 turns after the next debate. It's like a slow walk all the way up to the debate. You're just slowly taking your turns, and then the debates happen almost back to back. You're like, okay, well, there's the end of the game now.
But it still takes forever.
It does,
because there's so much collaboration.
The first part of the turn is so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot for 6, man.
There's so much to consider on every card. And then if you're also coordinating with somebody else. Yeah.
It's challenging. It is not my preference. I think 3 and 4 has been the most fun I've had.
I do agree, though, that 2 would be awesome.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, 2 would be pretty wild. You'd be able to do a lot. You'd have a lot of turns.
I think that would probably feel the most thematic of all.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you'd be able to do the most.
Yeah.
You would feel like you did the most.
Yeah.
Especially with the idea thematically that you're ramping up to the last few months.
Right.
Like, the libs are pretty much out of it at that point, and it's like a 2-man race to where you're Like, okay, yeah. This is our showdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Ian, give us a quick rundown on modules and expansions, and then we'll work on wrapping this thing up.
So I know you can buy the individual stuff off their website.
Sure.
Then there's the Kickstarter that was there. So if you bought one of those, anyway, there is a breaking news module that adds these wild things to the deck that you'll randomly flip throughout. So like ones like wildfires in California. And so like you get double when you place a voter in California, you get an extra one and like stuff like that. Add some like really random stuff, like one campaigning costs 20 extra million or advertising is slowed down, you know, whatever. So just add some events to the deck. The next one is exit polls. Exit polls allows you to have these goal cards. An example of a goal card would be have so many voters in this region and or your highest scoring region. How many voters do you have there? Do you have 30? Do you have 40? Do you have 50? If you meet the benchmark, you get that many voters at the end of the game to place into a specific 1 to 2 or 3 different states based on the card that you're given. Let's say I had Illinois and I got the second benchmark, so I'd be able to place 6 voters into Illinois. Maybe there's Illinois and Ohio on that card specifically, so I could split them up between those states. Exit polls, I think, are a really good way to add a variety at the end of the game. Sometimes, if you don't play with them, there's a clear winner at the end of the game.
You're like,
the
last two are a must.
The last two, you're like, okay, why am I even playing this game now? Like, I'm so far behind.
Sure.
The exit polls are a must. Make it intense to the rest. Even if somebody's well ahead, those exit polls add a little bit to the end of the game. You're like, okay, I'm still in this. I have a chance.
I feel like it does take away. So like being last in this game is super powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think the exit polls kind of balance that a little bit to where it's like, okay, that person gets to go last, but then I get to do this again kind of thing. So.
Yeah. There are a module where you're adding, it's basically an alternative action. So everybody gets one card. It's a very specific action card. It's like basically an OP action card. It has a little bit of everything and they're all really good. And you get to use it once for throughout the game. It's kind of a second hand. It kind of goes off to the side, but like, they'll do where like it gives you 200 million or gives you like an insane amount of voters, or it allows you to campaign somewhere that you wouldn't be able to. That's a way to get into like California that you wouldn't be able to. Like you can pick a state that you want to go to, or and one thing is advertising. You get to pick 2 topics that you want to. And so it's like a super extremely good card, and everybody gets one of them, and they're a little different, but a lot of them are the same. And then I believe there's like a dirty politics module basically that it makes the game a lot more mean. I don't even have that one because I'm not interested in it.
We're not interested in the crap.
I can't remember exactly what it does, but it just makes it a lot more vicious towards each other. You get to attack each other more often than you do in the base game. And then I think that might be it. There might be one or two. There's a couple of like the little expansions adds more characters.
Sure.
But generally that is, I guess the green party is that.
That's the big one.
Yeah. So the green party adds up. That's how you would get to 8.
Or four individuals.
And so it gives you the board that you would flip over. And so it evens out. So if you were to play 4 individuals, it would add, like everybody would start at the same electoral votes and it would bounce the boards a little bit different. So you would play with 4 parties.
Sweet.
That one's, I mean, obviously the best. It's great because it adds an extra party, which is fun. So.
Not for sure. All right. Well, let's move into grading and final thoughts.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
When do you want Josh to go? That's the question.
You feel good about your grade?
No.
Okay, good.
I'll let you go first.
All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
All right, so I thoroughly enjoy the experience that this game brings. It is a fun time anytime that I play it. I never feel like I walk away from the table and say, man, I really wish we hadn't spent 1.5-3 hours playing this game, depending on how many people are playing. I do have a few issues with it. I don't like the way that I can't keep up with everything. I feel like, I mean, I can, but for what it is, I almost don't want to put that kind of effort in.
Right.
And that's coming from someone who really like even likes heavier games. Like there's just something about it that I'm like, okay, I'm just going to kind of do my thing here and work within their confines as much as possible. But the balancing issues for me, they're okay. Like I can look past them because, again, the perspective is this is an experience before it is a game, even though there is very much a game here. I don't want to discredit that in any way.
Right.
I still remember the first time we played this. It was at Gen Con. Like I said, we played the team game. We played six players. And I just walked away from that demo being like, holy crap, that was so good. I need to go home. There's people I'm going to tell about this. We're going to get it. We're going to play it all the time. Like the experience brings such excitement. And again, as someone who's apolitical, I really enjoy the experience of getting to play in the politic world without all the crap. So for me, I think BGG really kind of has it almost on the nose. I'm going to give it a 7.5. I think that it's one of those things that I enjoy. I can play it 2 or 3, probably 4. I have no issue with. I like occasionally doing the 6-player game, but it's got to be this is a once a year, twice a year experience that we're going to do. And that's about it. But I also don't feel the need to pull this one off the shelf all the time. So I don't know that I want to rate it much higher than that. So that's what I would give this. We'll let Josh be in the middle because I think you're going to go higher than that.
I'll do 6.5.
Ooh.
I like it a lot. I mean, for what it is, for the niche that it is a part of.
Yeah.
I'd probably rate it higher. I'd give it like an 8 or a 9. But just for like, am I going to pull this out and play it very much ever? Not really. It's just, there's too much to keep up with. It's fun every once in a while to pull out and play. And I do really enjoy it. But I mean, I don't own the game anymore. I used to have it. I sold it. I'll give it a 6.5.
Okay.
Fiddly, but fun.
Fiddly, but fun.
It's an interesting rating.
Easy for you to follow up, I suppose.
So I'm going to stick with my BGG rating.
Okay.
It's a 9.
Wow.
I will play this game over and over and over again. I know I knocked the abilities, but that's really the only biggest thing I have.
He cut all that out.
Yeah.
That's not even going to be an episode.
I remove the abilities I think are strong, and I self-balance this game, and I think it swims great with the group that I've played multiple times. I think it's light enough at times. Like, it is overwhelming the board, in my opinion. I do agree with you. But I think for me, I have a card in my hand. I have 5 cards in my hand. I pick one, and I do one thing on it. And I know there's a lot of decisions to make on that. But I love that decision making for myself. I love how you just area control. You're just monitoring the board, moving around. I love the exit polls. I think that's what takes it to me a 9 for me. If it didn't have that, I think it would be less. I think that adds so much variety at the end of the game. It truly feels like an election night. That's what it feels like to me. Mm-hmm. Is that those exit polls feel like election night to me? You're like, I don't know how this state's going to poll. Let's find out. Last game, last ditch effort swing at the end of the game. I've had crazy swings from last to first in this game, and I'll never say no to this game. I love it so much. I think it does everything I want this game to do. It is a political game. You're campaigning across the U.S. It feels like that. It does everything that it wants to be and everything that I want it to be in a game. And overall, like, it can be a little bit mean, but in general, I've played this game pretty casually, and then I've also played it a little bit more intense, and I have fun regardless. I think it's fun. I think it's a great game, especially for me that I do like politics as well. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with my BGG on that. I know that's really high, but just take the things that we said as far as the downsides and consider them. But all the other parts, I truly love this game. This game's in my top 5. Like, I always, wow. Yeah, this game's in my top 5, so. And I've played it so many times now, I know the parts that I don't like, and I try and make sure that I remove those parts for balancing issues, so. Just the way I do it.
I'm blown away.
Yeah. Did I surprise you there?
I knew you were going to be higher than both of us.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would reach 9 territory, and it's one of your top 5 games.
I'll never say no to this game.
What if I want to play it?
I'm glad to know somebody who is willing to set it up.
It is a lot of setup. But it doesn't bother me. No, so I guess I should caveat. I think 2 to 4 is the best numbers for this. Sure. I don't play it. I don't want to play it. I don't play it at 6. I don't play it at 6. Unless you really wanted to, then I would for you, Jared.
That's very kind.
It is an experience, but I don't like this game at 6. I think this game's 2 to 4. I think that's where it really shines. That's where I had the most fun. I think if it's playing at 6, for me, it's like 6.5. It's good. It's a good experience for me at higher player counts, but I have the most fun at this game between 2 and 4.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I can get behind that.
And we did play this game in 2.5 hours. We started after 8:30 or around 8:30 and ended at 10:30 or 10:45 total. So.
Yeah. I just wish it clipped a little faster. I think that's one of the things for me. But
if this game could be distilled down and be an hour long game somehow without losing the magic.
I mean, you could do 1 month.
I don't know that you can.
Like
I think, it's in the rule. It's in the
no,
rule.
No, not that. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm talking about. He said.
I don't think you
get
could
it down
either,
to an hour and not
could,
lose the magic.
If you could, I think it would be like it would be a top five game for me too.
I think that's what it goes back to. If this was an app game, I think
top five.
Oh yeah, if it were an app, I would play it a lot more.
Man, I would play this all the time.
Yeah, this is a game that should be on an app.
I think I would say right now that I would shell out $10 for this to be on my tablet.
30. Yeah. Easy.
Nope.
I dropped 30.
I would not drop $30.
20 or not. 20. I would do 20.
I'll still do 10, which I think is a reasonable price for an app.
10 would be good.
Yeah.
I'd drop 30 for the continued support for the game.
Sure.
Okay.
I guess.
All right.
I don't know that I would need that.
I would, yeah, if this were an app, I don't make a lot of games at 10. It would probably be like a 9.5 at that point.
Wow.
Man, that'd be so sweet.
It would be better. It would be better. I mean, I love Twilight Struggle. Great game on the app. So
it is. He's right.
So yeah, it's a similar game in that regard. Is that there's a lot of fiddliness that you're kind of messing around with on the board. And for me though, for a game like that, the card art is something that I feel empowered by when playing cards.
In Twilight Struggle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even in this game, I feel empowered by playing into California. Like, I played that card.
Look, I got the California card. The one California card.
Just kidding.
Uh-huh. I mean, again, I'll just wrap with this. It does, from an experience perspective, it knocks it out of the park. And so if you're looking for an experience, this is definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
With that, I hope you, the listener, have had a great experience, and we thank you for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com or shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. All these links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for her cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Anna and I head back over to the Two Top Table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.